Scientists have confirmed the second ever case of a virgin birth, parthenogenesis, in a shark, an indication that female sharks can reproduce without mating. With me now is Dr. Demian Chapman, a shark scientist with the Institute for Ocean Conservation Science at Stony Brook University. Welcome to our show.
Good afternoon.
How was it discovered that the shark was pregnant?
Well, the shark was actually in an aquarium, and it died. And during the necropsy, they discovered an embryo growing inside one of its uteri.
So if she hadn't died, is it likely that the shark fetus would not have even been discovered?
Well, it's possible. In the previous case where we documented this, a baby shark was actually born. It was a hammerhead shark. And it was seen swimming alive in the tank, but then something bit it and killed it, which is not unusual. Usually when small sharks are born in tanks, they get eaten by the bigger sharks in the tank. So in this particular case, there were some pretty big sand tiger sharks that probably would have eaten it if it got born. And if nobody had seen it, then we would never have known about it.
Had the mother tidbit been raised completely in captivity?
Well, she was caught off the coast of Virginia when she was probably only a year old, which is at least 5 or 6 years before reaching sexual maturity. So throughout the rest of her life, she was completely isolated from males of the same species.
So we know for sure that she could never have mated. Did you do a DNA test on the shark fetus?
Yeah, that's exactly how I determined that it was parthenogenesis that we were looking at.
Because it would be essentially a clone, because there was no shared DNA.
Well, what it is it's actually it's half a clone. You run a DNA fingerprint of the mother and the baby, and it's just exactly the same kind of DNA fingerprinting you would do for human paternity testing. And what you actually see is that the embryo has absolutely no genetic material or fingerprints from a father. And what it actually has is it only has about half of the genetic diversity of the mother. So it's quite an interesting process.
And you mentioned a previous case. Where did that happen?
That took place in Omaha, Nebraska, at another aquarium.
And in that case, we were sure as well that there had been no male involved?
Yeah, that case also was very, very similar situation where a baby... the female was a baby when she was put in the tank. She grew up after a few years, reached sexual maturity, and then became pregnant on her own. And again, the DNA testing, we did exactly the same DNA testing procedure and found the same DNA profile.
So I'm assuming that this has happened many other times. It's just that we just haven't been able to, we have been unaware of it because of the circumstances.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that most sharks do not live in captivity and don't breed in captivity. So to detect this, you really have to have a female shark that you know hasn't encountered a male to all of a sudden give birth, and that's what triggers us looking for it.
But
out in the wild, in the ocean, it's you know, we don't know if this goes on because we're not DNA testing every baby shark.
On the other hand, you would assume that the capability to have parthenogenesis would mean that this is part of the way sharks have reproduced in the past.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that just putting them in a tank doesn't trigger it, or it doesn't cause some change in their reproductive biology. I think this is something that many female sharks can do and will occasionally do in the wild if perchance they don't discover a mate.
So if all the male sharks in the world disappeared, female sharks would be capable of reproducing children anyway?
Well, I think what would happen, I think they could hang on for a little while doing that, but they lose genetic diversity when they do it. And in addition, female sharks usually produce multiple offspring in a pregnancy, and so far doing this, we only know that they can produce one at a time.
Well, would that that diversity, that genetic diversity, matter all that much with a shark? Are they that Are they that advanced to require the kind of genetic diversity that we might assume is necessary with mammals?
Well, for most vertebrate animals, the more genetic diversity you have, the greater your evolutionary potential, the more variation in your immune system, and the more responsive it is to fight off a wide variety of diseases, and the less likely you are to have congenital defects. So I think sharks are no different from mammals in that genetic diversity is important.
Are there other species that we suspect are capable of parthenogenesis? I'm not talking about those worms and other things that we learned about in school, but species that are closer to the shark or even to mammals.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about the shark discovery is of all the major vertebrate with animals with backbones, of all the kind of higher animals, this has been recorded rarely. It's been recorded in birds, reptiles, amphibians, bony fish, and now sharks, which are pretty much the most ancient of that group. The only group that of vertebrates that don't do this is the mammals.
I just have one other question about sharks. I mean, this is stunning in itself, but the oceans are warming up. Are we seeing an impact on shark life around the world?
Well, at this point, the main problem we see with sharks right now is that they're being over-harvested by humans, primarily to supply the dried shark fin trade, which is used to make the Asian delicacy shark fin soup. And it's estimated that somewhere between 22 and 70 million sharks are annually taken for this fin trade.
Just for the fin. And what happens to the rest of the shark?
Well, it varies. In some countries, they use the meat. In other countries, they'll actually just cut the fins off and dump the carcass overboard, and sometimes while it's still alive.
That's like what they've done with rhino horns.
Yeah, precisely. It's very, very much like that. So it's really a luxury trade that nobody's going to starve to death if we, you know, reduce fishing pressure on sharks. So it's, of course, global warming, as you suggest, or climate change, is going to have an effect on sharks. But right now, the more urgent issue is that their populations, in many cases, are very, very low.
Well, we've seen advocates for rhinos and for whales and for other animals that are being used in that way. Are there people out there who are saying, you know, we have to have a moratorium on fishing for sharks just for the fins? Elephant ivory right now is illegal trade, isn't it?
Yeah. In the case of sharks, I think my mentor, or one of my mentors, Dr. Samuel Gruber, he published a paper about 10 years ago, or actually more than that, 18 years ago, kind of saying that many sharks were headed for extinction. And that's really coming to pass now. But what's happened in probably the last 20 years is people are just becoming in. They're not cute and cuddly, but people are interested in sharks. And there is a groundswell movement of people who are championing better protection for sharks. And our protection for sharks is a lot better now than it has been in recent times. It has to get better, for sure.
Well, they play a role in the ecology of the oceans.
Well, right. They're the top predators in the ocean. We don't really know what happens if you take sharks out, but it's probably a bad thing. I mean, they probably control the health of their prey populations. They probably control the numbers of their prey populations. So it's definitely something it's an experiment that we're doing that we really don't want to be doing.
Dr. Damian Chapman is a shark scientist with the Institute for Ocean Conservation Science at Stony Brook University. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, no problem.